You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Wisconsin Wakes Up Here. Back to Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Good morning. Welcome to hour three of the big show. We are glad you're here. If you can't get enough of Daybreak with Brian and Jamie, and quite frankly, I won't blame you. 3 hours doesn't seem like enough. And you're thinking, well, where, Brian, where can I get some? Good news is we've got a lot of avenues for you. You can try out our new social media channels, Daybreak with Brian and Jamie, on both Facebook and Instagram. Go check those out. We have reels going up all the time. There's some behind-the-scenes stuff. We put all kinds of things up there, like one does on social media. So please go like and subscribe to those. We would truly appreciate it. Then you might say, I missed your conversation on why Beaver is so important here in Wisconsin. Can I listen to that again? Yes, you can. You can either go to civicmedia.us, click on the Daybreak tab, and then search for it on our podcast. You could do that. But if it's easier, and I think it might be, you can go to Spotify and subscribe to our podcast, Daybreak with Brian and Jamie. Subscribe to those, and then you will get them in your feed, and you can just revel in the glory that is Daybreak with Brian and Jamie. Did I build it up too much, Parker?
No, I think it's good to revel in the show. Yeah,
I think, I think you should revel. You should let us wash over you like a warm bath and cleanse you of all your outside worries. Now it's getting creepy, but either way, go to Spotify and subscribe to our podcast. That would be great. And go to the website just to visit so my corporate overlords don't get mad at me. So you really, why aren't you promoting the whole company? Why are you just promoting your show? Well, I think you know the answer. Anyway, with that, it's time for headlines. Let's look to Iran, where there are always headlines, as we are in week 7 of the war of choice that Donald Trump started with Iran. The U.S. attacked and seized an Iranian flag cargo ship it said had tried to evade its naval blockade near the Strait of Hormuz today. It was the first interception since the U.S. blockade of Iranian ports began last week. Iran's Joint Military Command vowed to respond, throwing a fragile ceasefire into question days before it expires on Wednesday. Now, Iran today offered a new death toll for the war, with its forensic chief saying at least 3,375 people had been killed in the conflict. The figure came from Abbas Majedi, the head of Iran's legal medicine organization. Majedi said only 4 of the dead remain unidentified. In other headlines, President Trump on Sunday said U.S. negotiators will be in Pakistan today for another round of talks with Iran. However, as with a lot of things the president says about Iran, Iranian officials did not directly respond to his announcement, and there's no response. So we don't know if Iran is coming today to Islamabad, but J.D. Vance and other diplomats of high caliber and high experience, I'm sure, are there waiting. In other ceasefire news, a 10-day ceasefire in Israel and Lebanon appears to be holding, which is good news. And finally, in the Iranian war headlines, China's Ministry of Foreign Affairs expressed concern today over the U.S. seizure of an Iranian flag cargo ship on Sunday. They said, "We hope all relevant parties will adopt a responsible attitude, abide by the ceasefire agreement, avoid escalating tensions or intensifying contradictions." And as we know, a lot of the oil tankers that come through the strait are going to China, so it is imperative for them to make sure that strait stays open as well. And we will see. All right, that's the news from the Persian Gulf. But then we turn our sights to other news, because there is always stuff you need to know.
It's a wake-up call in more ways than one. Time for some you need to know.
Now, Parker, you were dealing with this with your grandparents on a minor degree, but across Wisconsin, the wait for flooded rivers to recede could take a few days. There's flooding all over. Your house didn't flood, right, Parker?
No, we had flooding, I think, last summer, and then we made some changes, and we almost get no water on our sub, whatchamacallit thing now. Some pump, yes.
You're really getting any in there anymore.
Good. And your grandparents just had a little bit?
Just a little bit. Not too bad.
All right. Well, that's good. So, you know, the end of flooding is dependent on each different river. So the Rock and Wisconsin rivers, for example, are deeper within drainage basins and have much more water to outflow than other rivers before floods are over. It could be 3 to 4 days before these slow responders, which is what the National Weather Service calls some of these rivers, are below major flooding stages. Most rivers crested April 15th and 17th, so Friday and Saturday, most of the rivers were cresting and are now on their way down, even if they're draining slow. Many fast responders, like the Milwaukee, Menominee, and Kinnickinnick rivers, are all descending at or below a minor flooding as of yesterday. You know, there's some words that you always have trouble with. Like, I can say Giannis nonstop.
Yeah.
If I try to read Giannis's name, I always screw it up. So like Kinnickinnick, I know it. I can pronounce it. I can say it. I can't make the connection when I'm looking at it because there's so many N's in there. There's too many letters.
It is terrifying to look at. Yeah.
Yes, it's hard. And again, I know how to say it, just like I know how to say Giannis. But when I look at Giannis, I always mispronounce it. And then people go, dude, don't you know who Giannis Antetokounmpo is? I go, yes, I do. Huh. And I could say, I just said it now.
I was going to ask no if you problem. Can do Antetokounmpo. And you did.
And I did. Well, but ask me to read it.
I'll send it to you in a second.
Not going to happen. All right. So what rivers are still on flood warnings in Wisconsin? I'm not asking you. I'll tell you because you're like, wait, we're not meteorologists. Aren't you supposed to be giving us the stuff we need to know? Yes, I am. So these are the rivers that are still on flood warning. The Rock River, the Milwaukee River at Cedarburg, the Fox River, Sugar River, Wolf River, Menominee River, Yellow River. Oh, that brings up an old joke from grade school. And the Peshtigo River. So those are the rivers that they are. Everybody's on their way down. Some are slower than others. I hope where you are along the network that the flooding is minor and you are getting back to normal because water... I would rather have a blizzard any day of the week than flooding. Any day. All right, some other stuff you need to know. The story continues on President Trump's ballroom. Construction of the ballroom can continue for now, according to a U.S. appeals court. Federal appeals court is allowing the president to continue building a $400 million ballroom at the White House, ruling a day after a lower court, because if you remember, last time we were together on Friday, a judge had said, no, you can't keep building the ballroom. You can build the security bunker underneath because that we can justify that as national security, despite the fact that there's already a huge bunker under the White House. But, you know, Donald Trump, it's not made of gold, so he probably wants a different bunker. But anyway, this court overruling the other court because last week, the judge continued to block above-ground construction. A three-judge panel of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit late Friday night put on temporary hold the order by U.S. Judge Richard Leon halting part of the project. The panel scheduled a hearing for June 5th to review the case. In his ruling Thursday, Leon continued to block above-ground construction of the 90,000-square-foot ballroom addition while allowing only below-ground work to continue on a bunker and other national security facilities at the site. The National Trust for Historic Preservation later sued to block construction of the ballroom, arguing that Trump had overstepped his authority, big shocker, by moving forward with the project without first getting approval from key federal agencies and Congress. And why, pray tell, would you think that the president is going to seek approval for any of that, considering he never seeks approval? He believes he is able to do what he needs to do and wants to do, hence the arch that is going in. Have you seen that monstrosity? You seen pictures of the arch that he wants to be built that looks, well, first of all, it's bigger than any other arch in the world. I saw a rendering the other day and a comparison. Like, it dwarfs Parker, you're a citizen of the world. What's the first, when I say historic or famous arches, what one do you think of? And not, I don't say McDonald's.
The Golden Arch, of course. Probably the French one. I think it's in Paris.
Yes.
I have no idea what that name is.
The Arc de Triomphe.
Arc de Triomphe.
This arch will dwarf the Arc de Triomphe. Wow. This arch is barely shorter than the U.S. Capitol Dome. That's how big this arch is.
That seems excessive.
Yes. And you may ask, why do we need an arch? Well, no. We don't need an arch that is very reminiscent of the old Nazi bunker arches, but that's neither here nor there. All right. So he didn't get approval, and we'll see. The ballroom debate continues. All right. Let's finish up with this one. The federal government plans to loan a Janesville company up to $263 million to support the use of nuclear fission technology in medicine. The facility, called Chrysalis, will produce molybdenum-99 or Mo-99, because you don't want less 99. You got to have Mo-99, an isotope involved in diagnosis of conditions including heart disease and cancer that is not commercially produced in the United States. That, according to a company press release and reported by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Chrysalis is expected to be the largest medical isotope production facility in the world. Shine uses its nuclear fusion technology for a variety of medical and non-medical purposes, including neutron testing and production of targeted cancer therapies. A lot of medical news today on the show. The U.S. Department of Energy's Office of Energy Dominance Financing announced the conditional loan commitment just over a month after Shine had said it had raised $240 million from investors, bringing its total fundraising to more than $1 billion. Now, the announcement was welcomed by the city of Janesville, which said the project will support approximately 200 construction jobs and 150 permanent jobs, so that's a nice economic boon for Janesville. The city manager, Kevin Lawner, said in a statement, quote, "This announcement reflects the continued momentum of economic development in Janesville. Investments like this strengthen our local economy while positioning our community as a leader in advanced manufacturing and emerging technologies." So good for them. I hope it works out. And again, you hear this story and you're like, wait a minute, how is this even possible? Who came up with this? A bunch of brilliant people came up with this, and now it's going to bring more jobs and more money and more development to a local economy. So we are always good with that. I still am of an age where I hear the word nuclear and I get a little nervous, but it's not a nuclear reactor. There's nuclear medicine. We've all had some, maybe you had an MRI, maybe you had some, there's nuclear medicine all around. So nuclear medicine is fine. Do I want a reactor in my backyard? Probably not.
Reactors are safer than you think.
I do, Parker, but I'm old enough to remember Chernobyl and Three Mile Island.
Yes.
Look them up.
I know.
Look them up.
Yes, I'll look them up.
Or don't. Just, you know. And yes, everything is much safer now than it used to be, thank goodness. And I'm not saying it's a bad idea. I think it's a great idea. And I think if it's advancing medical technology and moving things along that way, I'm all for it. And if the city is good with it and the residents are good with it, because they're going to be working, that's great. Now, we were mentioning the rivers and the flooding, and maybe some of you, and I want to hear from you if this is the case. Some of you got your homes flooded, and you found out, hey, wait, my insurance is not covering this. Yeah, you're not alone in that. So if you are having trouble with your home flooding and insurance not covering it, I want to hear your story. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. That's what we're going to get to next. I'm Brian Noonan. This is Daybreak, and this, of course, is the Civic Media.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Local voices, statewide impact. It's Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Welcome back. This is Daybreak. I am Brian Noonan, and if you're having trouble with your home insurance because you flooded over the last couple weeks, I would love to hear from you. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. And the reason I'm asking you this is because you are not alone. Now, TV station WBAY out of Green Bay is reporting that communities across, well, we all know this, communities across northeast Wisconsin are dealing with the aftermath of severe weather that brought heavy rain, rising rivers, and flooding. And as we mentioned in Stuff You Need to Know, the rivers, for the most part, have crested. Some are, and most are on their way down. Some go back down quicker than others, so you still might have a little flooding or a little worry in the air in your area. But as you clean up and as you look at your flooded basement, you're like, oh, well, let me go get my homeowner's insurance. I got to contact my agent and see if everything's good. A lot of people are finding that standard insurance policies may not cover the flood damage that is left behind. So as you can imagine, insurance companies have seen an increase in claims due to flooding and sump pump failures. And the sump pumps never fail until there's a heavy rain. Oh, they're gonna work in the light rain. That's fine. But when you really need your sump pump, that's when mine used to go out. It was never, and there is nothing worse, nothing worse than a flooded basement. Anyway, homeowners are finding that their standard insurance doesn't include flooding. This, according to an insurance agent in Green Bay. He said if it's water just seeping in, coming in through a window well, that's probably not going to be covered unless it's a big enough leak and you have home or flood insurance. So flood insurance is an add-on and can cost an average of $1,000 to $2,000, depending on factors like the property location, the way the home was built, and whether it is in a flood zone. And if you are in one of those zones, man, you're going to pay through the nose if you need flood insurance. So according to this insurance agent and other insurance experts, it is recommended that people get the backup of the sewer drain and the sump pump coverage. So, all right, I don't know what that costs. Maybe it's something good. That is a critical one, they say, because sump pumps do go out and they go out at the most inconvenient time. At your home, make sure that the dollar levels that you have are high enough for your home insurance. Look to see if you have a comprehensive form of coverage or adjust the name to peril. That way, a peril is a flood or other things. That's going to make a big difference if you have it. Some other concerns, obviously, you're going to lose property in a flood. Things are going to get damaged. But then you also have to worry because you're going to start cleaning up and there are concerns about mold. Ugh. So companies, mold remediation companies, say it's important to call professionals to do a moisture check. And a lot of them will do it at no cost. Most of us can see. And a lot of times, if the flood is bad enough in your basement, you can see the line on the wall where the water came to, and you know there's moisture in the wall. But anyway, mold can begin to grow in about 48 to 72 hours, and that will create unhealthy environments in your home. Anything that's under the floor can turn to mold, behind the walls, the subfloors, things like that. Insulation gets wet behind the exterior walls, so you're going to have microbial growth start there. Your house could rot from the outside in. You'll never know about it. It's horrible. Horrible. Now, you said, Parker, you didn't have any hail damage or flood damage to your car. Is that correct?
No, I was very relieved with that.
You're very fortunate. That is good news because that is the other sort of damage that people are dealing with their insurance. And insurance agents are very quick to remind drivers that even with comprehensive coverage, driving through high floodwater could result in your claim being denied. Turn around, don't drown. We learned that last week. Yeah, insurance doesn't cover stupidity. I don't even know if they sell that clause. If you went to your agent and go, look, I'm really dumb, and there's a good chance that I am going to do something so ridiculous that, one, you're not going to believe I could do it. Two, I shouldn't have done it. And three, I'm going to want you to pay for it. So is there some codicil that you could add to my policy that will make it possible for me to act in my natural way, which, again, is stupid, and you'll cover it for me? I'm pretty sure they're going to say no. But if your car is parked, it's, you know, outside in your driveway, And that area floods, that's going to be covered under comprehensive car insurance. So that's good. Otherwise, you drive through that viaduct and you, or you're leaving the Brewers game and you see six cars stuck in the flooded underpass and you decide, well, time for me to make my run. You're not going to do it. So again, insurance agents tell you, you got to be careful that way. But then here's a little, this is good advice for everybody. Everybody, if you know the storms are coming, check your sump pumps, put water in the sump pit, run your dehumidifiers, take pictures of any damage, and contact your insurance adjusters immediately. I have a dehumidifier. First time I bought a house with a basement, I got a dehumidifier, and my dehumidifier runs nonstop. And I know you're going to go, well, it's not supposed to in the winter because you have the furnace going. Yeah, I do, but I also have the basement, and the basement still gets murky. Not too humid, not like gross, but enough where you have to run the dehumidifier. And I've been fortunate. Only one house, I've had small floods in others. One house, we had, instead of a sump pump, we had an old standpipe, which Parker is a, what it sounds like, a big pipe that comes out of the basement floor. Okay. And supposedly, the sewer would have then about 4 feet to back up before it starts flooding. Did that once. And then I had a house with a sump pump that sump pump quit, and we had about 2 feet of water in the basement.
Oof.
And it was horrific. All right. I'm a little upset. And I want to see if you're a Christian or a Catholic, if you are upset too. We'll talk about why I'm upset after this. It's Daybreak on the Civic.
Fairly solid, better than expected. It's Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Welcome back. If you are a Christian or a Catholic, I'm wondering how you will respond to this announcement. And if you are another religion or have no religion at all, I'm wondering how you are going to react to this. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Here's the headline. Trump to read Bible verse from the Oval Office after feud with the Pope and deleted AI image. I want to know how you feel about the President of the United States reading the Bible in a public address from the Oval Office. Now, we know, and this, I saw this story yesterday. I'm going to, right at the outset, this angers me to an unbelievable level because we do not live in a theocracy. This country was founded on the separation of church and state. I don't care what religion you are, you do not have the right to rule this country based on your religious beliefs. This country is made up of millions of people from all different religions and a lot of people who are atheist or agnostic and who don't believe in religion or who are believe in the tenets of religion, treating other people with respect, being kind to others without having to put a label on it and go to church. And the attempt by white Christian nationals to create a theocracy has to be stopped. This is not right. It is not representative of the entire country, and it is not representative of what this country meant when it was founded. So this is where we're going. He's going to participate in a public Bible reading this week as the administration continues to integrate religion, particularly Christianity, not particularly Christianity, only Christianity, into official business. On April 21st, President Trump is scheduled to read Scripture via video message from the Oval Office during the 6 o'clock Eastern hour. That comes from a press release from organizers of this event, which is called America Reads the Bible. Why don't we start with the guy who is going to be reading the Bible? The same guy who held a Bible upside down after he ordered protesters to be shot in the legs with rubber bullets. The same guy who would not put his hand on a Bible when he was sworn in as President of the United States. So why? I'm guessing he hasn't read this thing at all. So the president's participation in the week-long reading is particularly notable given this recent feud with Pope Leo over the Iran conflict and the backlash he received earlier this week for posting and then deleting an AI-generated image of him depicting himself as Jesus. And you know, in the aftermath of that, the president said he thought it was a doctor. I'm sorry. I'm old enough to have gone to a lot of doctors in my life. None of them had glowing hands that they laid upon me to cure me of my ailments. None of them had clouds behind them and wore a white robe and a red sash. None of them were beaming beatifically as they leaned over me to find out why I was coughing so much. He's either too dumb or too full of bull to admit that he knew he wanted to depict himself as Jesus. He liked it, and he let it go. All right. And I don't even, the feud with the Pope, man, talk about coming to a battle of wits unarmed between him and J.D. Vance, arguing at the Pope, who has 4 degrees in divinity, who has been chosen by 161 cardinals to represent the millions of Catholics worldwide, for them to say that he doesn't know the Bible and he needs to stick to his lane. Forget the fact that he's an American citizen and has every right as an American citizen to talk about the garbage that's going on here. But we're going to argue with the Pope because he's amoral and you are the pinnacle of morality and ethics, President Trump and Vice President Vance. Unbelievable. So in the video message, and please feel free to jump in. I especially want to hear if you are not of one a Christian, how you feel about being a citizen of this country and having religion forced down your throat when that is the antithesis of what we're supposed to be doing in this country. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. So his participation in the week-long reading is particularly notable given that his recent feud with the Pope. So he is, according to organizers, going to read the passage from 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verses 11 to 22. And this, I guess it's a real one, not like the one Pete Hegseth quoted the other day at a prayer service when he quoted Pulp Fiction and Ezekiel, which is not, it was made up. But this is this administration's embrace of religion. It doesn't even have to be real. It is all performance theater, and it is hypocrisy at the highest level. It is wrapping yourself in religion to appeal to a small sect of religious people, the white Christian nationalists, who you believe are going to be enough to save you from an election loss and keep you in power. And the more noise they make, the more attention is shown upon them. And I think it's important, though, that we do shine a light on this because this is a movement that aims to make this country a theocracy. And I, for one, don't want to live in a theocracy. I was raised Catholic. I believe myself to be spiritual. I strive to be a good person. Organized religion has a lot of problems for me, and especially when organized religion is weaponized to either keep people marginalized or to infringe on people's rights, or just to be cruel, which again, if you are a believer in Jesus and a believer in his teachings, this is not what Jesus taught any of us. So how dare these hypocrites wrap themselves in this and try to make us follow? Anyway, so here is the verse that's frequently quoted that the president is going to read. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. And why do I think this is the internal monologue in his head all the time? But he is putting his name where Jesus' name should be and saying this. The verse also gained public attention when the founder of Cowboys for Trump prayed over the crowd at the January 6th Capitol riot. Well, that's a good verse then to keep when insurrectionists are using this prayer or verse. We all know what happened then. No, we don't. Those were calm citizens taking a peaceful tour of the Capitol. Why would you think anything else? Well, because even though I wear glasses, I can see pretty clearly. Trump ties the verse. Trump has ties back to this verse going even further, according to the Christian Post. Soon after his 2016 victory, evangelist Anne Graham Lotz, Billy Graham's daughter, said it was a sign that God was answering a prayer of his people, just like in 2 Chronicles 7:14. So he does believe himself to be appointed by God, and some of these far-right Christians believe themselves to be believe that he is also appointed by God. I think it was appointed by something, but I don't think it was God. Margaret Susan Thompson, a professor of history and political science at Maxwell School at Syracuse University, told CNN the verse has been seen in by many evangelical Christians as, quote, a justification of calling upon God to bless their nation. You know, and I brought this up earlier, Trump was in the midst of two big political issues last week. He has this feud with the Pope, who he says has spoken out against the war, which the Pope has, because any true religious leader would speak out against the war. The president criticized the Pope. He told reporters, we don't like a Pope who is going to say that it's okay to have nuclear weapons. I'm not a fan of Pope Leo. And just as a fact check, because that's what we like to do, I checked these facts based on other fact-checking reputable sources, CNN, PolitiFact, all these. The Pope never said that someone should have nuclear weapons, let alone saying Iran should have nuclear weapons. The president then had to defend himself about the picture controversy. The White House, the seat of our government, has asked Americans to pray for an hour a week. Bible verses and Christian imagery have appeared on official government social media accounts, and federal agencies have posted prayer services. You know, there has been a lot of push to get prayer back in school, to post the Ten Commandments in school. All of this leading to a complete takeover by the religious right of this country. And to make this country, even though we say it in the pledge, one nation under God, they now want God at the center of all this. And they believe, like Catholic doctrine believes, that when the Pope speaks on matters of dogma, he is infallible. They believe that when Trump speaks on matters of pretty much anything, it is dogma, and he is infallible. And it couldn't be further from the truth. And it should, I think, bother all of us, even the most devout among us. And as I admitted, I am not. I am not in any way, shape, or form going to be mistaken for the most devout among us. But I will be mistaken for a free-thinking, empathetic, caring human being who tries to live the right way based on the teachings that I learned as a child. And the teachings are what's important. It's not the pageantry that goes along with it. It's not where you go on Sunday, because what is true is a lot of people leave church and they're the most miserable creeps you ever want to meet once they get in their cars and try to leave the parking lot. So there is a lot of hypocrisy. There are a lot of people who are really decent, good people who are very devout in their faith. But I wonder if even you, if you fit in that category, want to live in a theocracy. I wonder how an atheist feels. There's a lot of atheists who treat people based on, while they may not, they don't believe in God, they can believe that you treat people respectfully, you love thy neighbor, you try to take care of people who are less fortunate. All of the things that the policies of this administration seem to go against. And if you look at the man who is going to be sitting in the Oval Office reading a Bible, who I know, really, it's all about we must forgive, we must move on, there have to be other chances. There's only forgiveness when you repent, when you admit what you have done and you repent. And the president has not repented on any of his 34 indictments, any of the other things he's been accused of or convicted of. So this is, I saw this story yesterday, and I don't mean to get on a soapbox, but hey, that's why they give me this platform. Sometimes you get on a soapbox, and a theocracy is not only dangerous. Jean is in Eau Claire. She wants to jump in real quick. Hi, Jean.
Oh, outstanding job. Hallelujah. Thank you very much for doing this. I agree with you 1,000%. I taught Sunday school, Bible school, and I agree with you. I'm more praying by myself. But this is unbelievable. I agree with you 100%. We need more soapboxes like this so people wake up, because this is blasphemous. It is unbelievable. And also work in the mental health field. These are people who think they're the Lord and think that they're Jesus and these type of things that need to be hospitalized immediately. So thank you very much. Keep up the great work. Thank you. Soapbox more often. Thank you. Bye.
Well, thank you, Gina. I appreciate the call. Yeah, there's a lot more, and we have to be diligent, and we have to keep our eyes open, and we have to push back on this whenever possible. Hey, let's go from religious hypocrisy to the best hamburgers. Why not? That's what we do. It's Daybreak on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Now back to more of Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Welcome back. Don't forget you can like all of our social media channels, both of them on Facebook and Instagram, Daybreak with Brian and Jamie. Subscribe to the Civic Media app, and you can listen to the show wherever you go and all the other programs on the Civic Media Network. But now we have a question. Your favorite fast food hamburger. Favorite fast food hamburger, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Don't just give us the name, give us why. What makes your pick the favorite? Because the reason we asked, Frank sent me this, because he knows I love to eat, and he knows I love hamburgers. A newly released YouGov study surveyed Americans about their dining preferences, including their favorite fast food burger, and the winner, Five Guys. Five Guys. It is one of the priciest fast food options. In 2025, All Recipes ranked Five Guys as the number one most expensive fast food chain in the United States, followed by Jack in the Box. I dispute that. Shake Shack, I agree with. Cava, I don't know. And Chipotle. Now, that's why I stopped going to Five Guys. Because I couldn't. First of all, I'm going to say this. Hot take. I don't consider Five Guys fast food.
I was going to say that, so I'm glad you did. If there is no drive-through, and if my only option is to walk into your store, I don't think you get to claim fast food.
No. And I'm trying to Chipotle. No, most Chipotles don't have a drive-through either. You have to go in. And most of the time I will, when I do go there, I will probably eat there rather than
take out.
It's
a slop bowl place, though. It's different. That's like its own category.
Yeah. Shake Shack is a walk-in, dine-in. It's not fast food. Jack in the Box, stop it. First of all, Jack in the Box, just coming back to the area. If you're in Wisconsin, you may not know Jack in the Box. It was all across the country. Then it went away for a long time, was only on the West Coast. Now it's making inroads back into some areas. They still have the two tacos. It used to be two tacos for a dollar. Now it's two tacos for a buck and a half. The most outrageous tacos ever, but we're talking about burgers. But their Jumbo Jack and stuff is no more pricey than anywhere else. That is a fast food.
Is it good, though?
Yeah, I like Jack in the Box.
That's my thing. Would you put it in the... Okay, but here's the deal. Would you put it in your top three? I was going to say...
No,
top three. It's not even top five, right?
No, not top five. But it's... And I don't usually get the burgers there because I go there for the cheap tacos. That are deep fried with a pocket of, I don't know, meat-ish, cheese-ish stuff in there. I don't want to know. I know what it takes. Cindy is in Appleton. Cindy, where's your favorite fast food burger?
Hey, Brian. Well, I'm actually kind of a Quick Trip junkie because not their little cheeseburger that they have every day, but I'm talking like their mushroom and Swiss or their Angus burger, their bacon and bacon burger. Oh, there's spicy chicken sandwich that they have on special on Thursdays, beats Popeyes or the
Cindy. There's no way.
I've had Quick Trip food.
Yep.
Oh, Frank disagrees with you. What we got to do is take Frank to Quick Trip because their stuff is solid. The little breakfast wraps. I've had their small cheeseburger, Cindy. I haven't had one of their big specialty ones, and it definitely, it's tasty. It serves a purpose. I don't think it goes to my top five, but Cindy, thank you for the call. Frank, Quick Trip is not your regular Speedway hot dog on a roller kind of food.
I think Quick Trip is great. I got a burger last time I went up to Milwaukee. I was like, let me go in and check this place out. And it's great. It's really good. Don't tell me it's their chicken sandwich is better than Popeyes. And I know that's not what we're doing right now, but that's a bold statement from Cindy. Cindy, you and I are gonna, you're gonna have to take me on a pilgrimage.
All right, Frank, here we go. Let's have we'll have a burger showdown and a chicken one. All right, Frank, where is your favorite fast food burger? And we've already established, if you have to walk in and most of the time you're sitting down, that doesn't count as fast food. You know what we're talking. We're talking Burger King, McDonald's, Wendy's. We're talking, where else has like a drive, Sonic drive-through, things like that.
I know it's regional, and it's a homer pick, but I do believe Culver's makes the best fast food burger.
It's a very good burger.
I think the double deluxe with cheese from Culver's will go toe-to-toe against even even Shake Shack. I think I would pick Culver's.
I'm going to agree with you on the quality of Culver's. I'm going to argue that Culver's, for me, is an eat-in restaurant. I don't go to Culver's for drive-through.
But they
I go
have
to Culver's
the drive-thru.
No.
It's an option.
I know they have a drive-through, but here's the difference. A Culver's dining room is always crowded, whereas a McDonald's, Burger King, those kind of drive-through, those dining rooms are not crowded because the majority of their customers drive through, which makes it fast food. Culver's, people like to sit and enjoy themselves because then they eat their meal and they order their custard, and it's more of a family dining place with a drive through option. So I don't discount the quality of the burger. I love Culver's food. I discount them in that, like, I don't look at Burger King and Culver's the same. Because Burger King is the Whopper is my favorite fast food burger.
I think the Whopper is very good. I would put it at number two for me. I tried the Big Arch from McDonald's on Friday because my wife was going through food poisoning. So I was like, all right, I'm going
to
check this thing out.
So you just wanted to rub it in?
I thought it sucked. I
thought
it was
bad?
Not good.
Oh. Yeah.
I didn't think it was good. I thought it was big.
Big
doesn't
make it good.
But the Big Mac destroys it. Give me a bigger Big Mac. That's what the people want.
Yeah, I would agree. The Big Mac comes in second for me. It's Whopper. I like it. Has a much beefier flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Parker, a pick.
You got 1 minute.
I was thinking Culver's as well, although I will say it's been a while.
Stick to your guns, Parker.
Wendy's has got a good burger.
Ooh. Wendy's, I feel like, has really taken a downward spiral.
This could be
since
true.
They started donating so much to MAGA.
Well, not even that. No, I think before that, I think the quality has really gone down at Wendy's.
Yeah.
And that hurts me because I think Wendy's was really good.
Yeah, I think so too.
I like a Wendy's chicken sandwich. I don't know, but there you have it. Here are the top five according to that study. Five Guys, Burger King, In-N-Out, overrated. Wendy's
so
and McDonald's. In-N-Out is overrated.
In-N-Out's so good. We don't have
we will
time.
Argue that another time. Right now, we have to say goodbye because, quite frankly, I've talked more than enough this morning. But we'll be back tomorrow on Daybreak. I'm Brian Noonan, and this is the Civic Media Network. Have a great day.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.